Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as you just heard, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been doing this for a few years, 20 to be in, as a matter of fact. We are always involved in the purchase and sale of coins, precious metals, estates, collections. If you have old coins sitting around or you know someone who's got some stuff to deal with, refer them to us. We've been doing it a long time. We're fair and honest and very knowledgeable. We deal in all kinds of coins and collections. We also specialize in wealth and capital preservation. That is helping you to save and preserve your wealth in a biblical, conservative, financially, a Christian way. Wisdom, basically. We build portfolios, and I just spent a couple weeks on the East Coast. I spent about a week in D.C. doing a tour. I spent another chunk of time in New York. I saw the comings and goings of Donald Trump a lot from both of those cities. And, man, let me tell you, they shut down the city. It's insane. When that man moves, they literally shut down five blocks either direction, either side. And in a lot of cases, it shut down New York so bad that we were frozen in time there for quite a while so we could come in and have dinner, apparently. True Wealth is can be reached at 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside the area, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646, or through our website at coinsplus.com. We always have our previously recorded radio shows available on the air, which you can download and listen to there on the website. When I was back east in New York, talked to a lot of people, know a lot of people. Luckily, I've made some friends over the years. And one thing I'll just touch on briefly is the stock market bubble. When you get to the heart of Wall Street, there is no doubt in everyone's mind there that this is an absolute, complete, total bubble. The real money, bottom line, is being made by the people at the top. You talk to the average man, working man, with a 401k or whatever, he's not making money. He's not yielding the fruits of this boom market. And as I studied, as I spent time in D.C. studying, it became more and more prevalent and present to me, what our founding fathers' true intentions were, not that I didn't already know it in a head knowledge way, but to actually experience it. George Washington, Mount Vernon, was a pretty important experience. I spent most of a day there. He had approximately 1,000 acres at Mount Vernon, absolutely beautiful waterfront property on the Potomac River. Every square inch of that man's land was designed to create wealth and income. He had everything you can imagine. He grew tobacco. He even distilled whiskey. He had cash crops. He had cattle. He had his own fish hatchery. He was catching and trading 2.5 million fish a year. I'm sorry, $2.5 million worth of fish a year with Great Britain. About 1.5 million fish out of the Potomac and other areas. That's a lot of fish, folks. I mean, George Washington alone, just in fish, was doing $2.5 million in trade. I will tell you, the level of skewing of our nation's history is so severe in every possible way. They're doing everything to remove the Christian heritage. And I'll tell you something that's incredible. You go to like the Library of Congress, and I'm really, really, really into architecture. I've I'm a kind of an architect by nature. It's something I was kind of gifted in. I do a lot of building and design of really nice quality stuff. It's just an area of my life that I'm intrigued with. I read a ton about it. I study it. I keep up on the current trends of it, etc. The quality of construction in the Capitol building, the Rotunda, and the Library of Congress is so magnificent. You can't even, today, you couldn't even replace the Library of Congress, the main area, for $25,000 a square foot. It wouldn't even touch it. We're talking about absolute hand-carved marble. And I'm talking with deep relief, 6-8-inch relief of, you know, endless murals and floral, you know, arrangements cut out of marble and paintings and gilded gold and garnet and sapphire tiles. And I mean, I can't even touch it. But I will tell you, it makes the pyramids pale in comparison. And that, my friends, is the way it should be. These were Christian forefathers. These were men glorifying God on earth. These were men that were taking the absolute maximum talents to glory, to give God the glory. They knew they were building the greatest nation in the history of the world. These men came here tired of tyranny. They were tired of all of the taxation and oppression that they were under when there was a king. And they wanted to be able to come and make money and not be taxed to death. They truly believed in free market. They wanted to trade. They traded with Britain. Things were crazy. The whole history of it is magnificent. Washington was a phenomenal general. He was wise and he was very godly. And he said, anyone who cannot, when you study the history of Washington and you read his quotes about, he says, anyone, and this is a paraphrase, but it's a quote on providential involvement. He says, anyone who cannot see the hand of God in all these things is worse than the wicked. I might even be able to find it here. Hang on. Let's see. May some wonder where. Oh, well, I wasn't prepared for that. But he had so many unbelievable things happen in the, you know, they had absolutely been bantered by the British, just pounded. And the British had sent in the Hessians, which were German fighters, tough as nails, by the tens of thousands. They were mercenaries hired by the British to come and fight Americans. And George Washington's greatest thing is they'd been beat back, pounded. He'd been chased by General Cornwallis. And when all was bad, you know, they thought they were done. The rebellion was over. Men were giving up. It was the free country concept was over. Washington got together and he said, no, this is not going to happen. He said he got men together. He got an army together and he went through the Potomac and he went to Trenton, I believe. I don't have the city exactly right. And when they were going there, the weather kept getting worse and worse. And, of course, they wanted to surprise them. So I believe they went on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And the weather got worse and worse and worse. They were supposed to meet another band of army that just the weather held them back so bad. Of course, they didn't have communication. They set their watches. And the weather got worse and worse and worse. When they were trying to cross the Potomac, there was so much ice they could hardly get across. They were bringing cannons. They were bringing everything. It was just unbelievable. And as they got closer and closer to the city, it got worse and worse and worse until Washington was like, this is unbelievable. God, how can you be doing this? This is the worst possible scenario you could ever cause. My men are getting gangrene. They're hypothermic. They're going to all die. So as they the but the good news was as the weather got worse and worse and worse, for the first time ever, the Hessians, 8,000 Hessians that were guarding the city of Trenton, withdrew to their homes because the weather was so bad they weren't on watch. It was Christmas Day, and they were able to surprise attack them. And they were able to take over the city and capture them. And then from there, there was one terrific battle after the next, all done with a combination of George Washington's wisdom and providential influence of events. And you can just see the hand of God in this nation in its very upbringing, its start. But you have to realize so much blood was shed. So many men lost lives. And yet God's hand was on it. And we have to realize that in our own life. You know, the story of Washington going in for that attack on Trenton. The absolute worst possible set of circumstances were upon him. Beyond imagination. Just defeat at the hands of nature, let alone man. George Washington thought that nature was beating them down to such a pulp that they were just basically delivering the victory to the enemy. But because of that, it was doing the same to the enemy, and they got lazy, and it gave them the ability to win. So from the worst possible circumstances, unimaginable circumstances, God provided one of the greatest victories of all, which turned the whole sentiment of the rebellion back on and began momentum where he ran, he sent up a decoy troops to New York, and then he came down and took over another area. I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on the names of the cities right now. I should be better than that, but I'm just telling you, it's absolutely magnificent. And anyone who can't see God's providential hand in all of this, as he said, is you know, worse than the wicked. He basically says you've got to be so evil to refuse to see God's hand in this that you just don't get it. You don't get the point. After General Washington did all these great things, they begged him to be king. There had been death and mayhem everywhere, and they wanted George Washington to be king. And he was so magnificently talented and yet so humble. He was like just appalled. And he was getting pressure from everywhere and everyone to do this. And he's like, are you kidding me? This is exactly the opposite of what we want. That is the king is exactly what we're trying to get away from. They did not want him. He did not want to be king. He was like, no, we're fighting for freedom from tyranny. We've got a beautiful plan. Let's implement and institute that plan. There were so many other scenarios that were just unbelievable. And yet his humility let him lead the course. There's no question. People know the story of the battle where they went out to fight out in the open fields, and the French-Indian War, and the Indians were literally had these the best marksmen in the world at the time. And General Washington was riding around on his horse in the middle of the battle. And these men shot at him and shot at him and shot at him and shot at him. And they could not hit him. Finally, their chief said, stop. The great white spirit does not want this man to die. That night when Washington went home, I mean, the horse, he'd had horses shot out from under him. His coat was filled with bullet holes and not a mark on him. That night when he went home, he found bullet holes in his coat. Later on, he'd come back to Mount Vernon during a transition period, which was his home, and an Indian marksman had heard that he was in the area, and he wanted to meet him and look him up. So he came and looked him up, and he told him the story of how they tried to kill him and tried. And he said he alone, I believe, shot 14 times, which back then was a big deal with a gun. And he said there was no way. And they knew that the great white spirit was saving him to be a great leader. And, of course, he was a great leader. He was the greatest leader this country will ever know, I believe. So I think so many people need to understand this about our founding fathers. They're working so hard to negate this stuff, to change the history, to remove scriptural reference. When I was standing in the Library of Congress listening to tour guides talk to people, there was basically there was a chronological set of paintings built into the upper house, and it was a series of events in the history of Washington or of America. And then right below it was the month by month. Each month had a terrific event, and there was evidence of God in every picture. I mean, which doesn't even get me to the Capitol. But the point was, I listened to this lady telling her people that it represented astrology, that our founding fathers represent, that the paintings they chose represent astrology. And, you know, I'm telling you crazy stuff. In the Supreme Court now, what they say is they've got images above, painted above the old courthouse, above where the justices sit, with someone holding a tablet with Roman numerals 1 through 10 on it. Well, guess what those are? You and I know those are the Ten Commandments, the seat of justice, the rule of law. Nope, not anymore. They're telling people that represents the first 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights. And it on and on this stuff goes. It's unbelievable, you know. There's so much Christianity and biblical reference by our founding fathers in Washington that you can't, they made it irrefutable, but the ability to spin is just unbelievable. It's just all I can say is it's unfathomable how hard they're trying to negate all this stuff. There's so many things I could go over. It's like, you know, Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, father of the American Revolution, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, governor of Massachusetts. He says, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. The name of the Lord, says the scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. And he goes through and just quotes scripture after scripture. He asks, you know, I could go through all this. Hosea Bartlett, military officer, you know, called on the people of New Hampshire to confess before God their aggravated transgressions and sins, to implore his pardon and forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, that the knowledge of the gospel of Christ may be made known to all nations, pure and undefiled religion universally prevail, and the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. There's John Quincy Adams. My hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ. I cannot cavil or quibble away or evade or object to the whole tenor of his conduct, by which he sometimes positively asserted and in other countenance permits his disciples in asserting that he was God. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. He goes on quickly here. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of our Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the precepts of Christianity. And on it goes. Okay? I mean, it just, it does not end. Folks, it is important. Why is this relevant? Congress, 1854. The great vital and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the United States Congress, 1854. In the same year, the U.S. House Judiciary Committee said, had the people during the Revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. Congress, 1854. You got it? I think you're seeing what I'm saying. This nation cannot survive without Christianity at its core. Even people say, oh, Franklin wasn't a believer. Well, here's what he says. As to Jesus Christ, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and religion as he left them to us are the best the world ever saw or is likely to ever see. Alexander Hamilton, signer of the Declaration of Independence, Revolutionary General, you know, author of the Federalist Papers, which is basically the purpose of the Constitution in the first place, also Secretary of the Treasury. He had this duel with Aaron Burr in his final 24 hours while he was still alive. Hamilton called for two ministers, and it was just a dumb duel, and this Aaron Burr was a bad situation. And he called these two reverends to pray with him and administer communion to him. Each of those two ministers reported what transpired. They said, Reverend Mason said, General Hamilton said, I went to the field determined not to take his life. He repeated his disavowal of all intention to hurt me. Mr. Burr, the anguish of his mind in recollecting what had... By the way, during this duel, Alexander Hamilton had no intention of shooting the man. It was an honorary duel where they draw and shoot into the air. This idiot, Aaron Burr, killed him, and it was not it was not a gentlemanly thing to do. Alexander Hamilton drew first, missed, on purpose shot into the air, and then this man shot him. It's a very sad situation. Said the anguish of Mr. Burr's mind in recollecting what had passed and his humble hope of forgiveness from his God. He says, disavowal of all intention to hurt Mr. Burr. In other words, he has no bad intentions. The anguish of his mind in recollecting what had passed and his humble hope of forgiveness from his God. This is from the Reverend. I recurred to the topic of the divine companion, the freedom of pardon in the Redeemer Jesus to perishing sinners. That grace, my dear general, which brings salvation is rich, rich. Yes, interrupted Alexander Hamilton interrupted and said, yes, it is a rich grace. And on that grace, continued the Reverend, a sinner has the highest encouragement to repose his confidence because it's tendered to him upon the surest foundation, the Scripture testifying that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. Here, Alexander Hamilton, General Hamilton, letting go of my hand, which he had held from the moment I sat down to the richness of his grace, here the general, it said, clasped his hands together and looking up towards heaven, said with emphasis, I have a tender reliance on the mercy of the Almighty, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he passed. And there's another account from another reverend. They said it was one of the most moving times of their lives. Everyone knows about John Hancock, the signer of the Declaration of Independence with the big fancy signature. You know, he says, sensible of the importance of Christian piety and virtue to the order of happiness of a state. In fact, I won't even get into this, folks. I'll just tell you, you get the point. It is saturated. John Jay, Thomas Jefferson. People try all the time now to negate Thomas Jefferson's faith. Ridiculous. Thomas Jefferson was an absolute intellectual. He had a massive library of books. I've seen, you know, what remains of it. And he was a brilliant, brilliant man. And so I'll leave it at that. It was quite a trip, quite an insightful trip. But I'll tell you, the one thing that makes me sad and sick is if the current progressive movement is effective in removing Christianity from our nation's capital, from our nation's core. Folks, this is their goal, and it will succeed. It will destroy this nation. They are picking and digging. We have craziness like Robert Mueller, the appointed special prosecutor, attacking Trump. I mean, we've got so much going on in this nation that is so evil and so bad and so deceptive, where the left is doing everything that they can to destroy everything that makes this nation fundamentally correct and fundamentally right. They are tearing at the strings that hold this nation together. They're becoming experts at it. The media is on their side. So many people are persuaded. If you don't think the persuasion matters, look at what happened with gay marriage. We went from 30% of America approving it 1 year to 70% of America approving it 2 years later. How? Propaganda, media propaganda. As I've talked before I left about communism in this nation, it's alive and well. It's rampant. You've got George Soros creating all these false flag events, tearing America apart at the seams, folks. This man is evil. Most people don't realize George Soros. If you don't know who George Soros is, he's a radical, radical left-wing billionaire that funds everything left. He owns Media Matters and 400 other websites filled with heinous propaganda, literal lies designed to tear at the fabric of the American heart. They've torn down the statues of Robert E. Lee. They've torn down the statue of Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus was on a mission from the Queen. He was godly. People say, oh, Christopher Columbus owned slaves. That's their big thing. Well, here's the deal. He was down in the Caribbean, and there was this tribe of cannibals, the Caribs. Caribs, that's where the Caribbean comes from. They were cannibals. They were attacking these other tribes and eating them all the time. Christopher Columbus and his men came there, and they went to war with these barbarians. They captured them. The local tribes wanted to kill them all. Christopher Columbus said, I don't think so. And so he said, I just don't feel right doing that. So they were supposed to be all assassinated. Christopher Columbus said, here's what I'll do. I'll take half of them. I think there was like 12 or 1400 back to England with me, and we'll sell them into slavery. And then he kept them, most of them, and used them and apparently treated them well and so on. Okay? So the other half were killed by the local tribe. So the, quote, slaves that Christopher Columbus had, he had saved. He'd saved their lives and then treated them with dignity and respect. I will tell you, folks, when it comes to oversimplification of history, beware. There is a number of very dirty techniques they use to deceive, that by giving you one fact without giving you any of the context, do not believe it. Unless you go to the original source of information, do not believe it. The original source is the answer to all these things. But now we rely on experts that tell us what is true and tell us what is false, brainwashed by these liberal institutions. Actually, more so, doing the brainwashing themselves. These men are the true greatest detriment and threat to the good of this nation. You know, we've watched this this battle over the NFL while I was gone. The disrespect for the American flag and national anthem. And yet, when I was in New York eating dinner at an Asian restaurant, and there was this Peruvian waiter, which, you know, very liberal, very, usually I'm pretty good with people. This guy was a little edgy, but spoken to him, 11 years in this nation, illegal undocumented worker, right? So I'm like, why don't you just go through the process of becoming a citizen? He says, well, I'm just not sure that I want to be an American citizen. I'm not sure I'm ready to give up my Peruvian citizenship. And I said, and taxes? Do you pay taxes? And he looked at me and gave me this very arrogant grin. And I said, you don't pay taxes. I said, that's why you don't want to be a citizen, because of money. And then he said he had a Korean wife who was also an undocumented worker who was in the same boat. And he was proud of it. And he's sitting on this soil, folks. Do not buy into this lie of these poor illegal immigrants. And by all means, when you see debates on TV or wherever you're picking up your news, and I talk to people who are like, oh, I never watch TV. I never watch it. Well, I'm not a TV guy at all. I watch movies on like Apple that I can hand select. But I will, you know, I'll watch Fox News a little bit. I'll watch Tucker Carlson, Hannity, things like that. There's all these games they play. They take the word, you start talking about illegal immigrants, and pretty soon they're talking about immigrants. The problem is the two are not one and the same. They'll say, well, immigrants built this nation. You are absolutely right. Ultimately, everyone is an immigrant, but not an illegal. They're an immigrant. They went through the proper process to gain citizenship. And here's the problem. When someone becomes a U.S. citizen, they've got to learn about America. They've got to learn about the Constitution. They've got to learn about all of our beliefs, and they've got to learn about it all. When they're just illegally here, they're bringing their culture to our soil. They're not adapting to us. We're adapting to them. As they saturate this nation, we are adapting our culture to theirs. They are not adapting to ours. This is where we've lost it. And folks, honestly, I talked of George Soros a minute ago. George Soros was a primary force behind Obama's successful victory. Obama was one of the most vile plants. No, Obama was the most vile political plant in the history of this nation. He divided us at the core. He fundamentally transformed America. He began a financial set, a level of financial destructive, I should say, financial momentum, which is now literally irreversible. He never passed a budget. He rammed every possible bill that ever came across his desk. And I mean bill like you get from the credit card company, not like bill through Congress. Every single possible expenditure, I should say, that he saw he approved and just shoved it down the line to Congress. He got us to the point where our yearly expenditures were nearly $5 trillion a year. And then he kept saying, we don't have enough taxes, we don't have enough taxes. Folks, you must understand that is fundamentally so anti-American in every possible way. It's anti-free market. He was anti-colonialist. He desired at his core to destroy this nation. He was an absolute professorial radical activist. And we need to know that. You think, well, Obama's gone. What's the gig? Why would it even matter? Well, his policies have been ingrained in this nation. He's created division, hatred, mayhem, and chaos like you cannot even imagine. That continues on. Levels of ignorance where everything is blamed on white supremacy. They started with racism. You and I, Christians, if you're white, you're evil, you're filthy, you're vile. What's coming next, folks, is these laws that are being implemented over racism and all this stuff. And you have these radical groups like Antifa, okay? The supposedly anti-fascists that actually preach fascism. This is all part of the communist agenda now funded by George Soros. He buses these people in mass to these protests, creates scenes. The media drinks it up. They buy the lie. They feed the narrative. You're being deceived everywhere you turn. He's loving this stuff, the NFL anthem. And you'll notice that the vast majority of visible protests is from minorities. They believe they're protesting against Trump. They get lied to. Trump's attitude and message is respect this nation, respect our anthem, stand at attention. You know, and then they basically, here's the argument. The argument is, oh, there's bad things happening in this country. You know, white cops are shooting blacks and whatever. Okay. You know, just skewed data all over the place. But let's just say for the sake of argument for a moment, that was true. Let's just say we were out of control, right? That doesn't change the fundamental precepts of this nation's core belief system and core government framework, okay? This is the greatest nation in the history of the world. It is the United States of America. If you cannot stand at attention when her national anthem is being sung and her flag being, you know, being flown, especially if you're a multi-million dollar a year athlete next to, you know, in the state stands for U.S. military veterans who make $750 twice a month on disability because they shed their blood for your freedom. You are a sick person. This is being propagated. And yes, again, George Soros is behind it. He is feeding propaganda through global dissemination of false information. That's what he does. Now, who's George Soros? I wasn't really prepared to give you a dissertation on him, but I will tell you this. George Soros was a Jew. George Soros's father paid off somebody to preserve his life and let him work with the Nazis. So George Soros, as a Jew, would help the Nazis find other Jews during the Holocaust, Jews that were hiding. He would help them to confiscate all of the wealth of the Jews, of his own people. He would help them to confiscate their wealth. He was helping the Nazis destroy his own people. From that point forward, he began to gain financial success. That's not even the right word. He began to accumulate wealth through immorality. Okay? So all of his money is blood money. Ill-gotten gains are sinful. The man will die. He will go to the pit of hell. I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible says. He is destroying the greatest nation. Where the real problem lies is, where is Obama? Kind of like, where's Waldo? Obama said that he would still be involved in politics, but behind the scenes. Obama was in as tight as you can get with George Soros. Obama is currently receiving a $3 million a year retainer from George Soros. Obama said when he left office, I will still be involved in politics, but from behind the scenes. Obama knows how to create, remember, the community organizer? He knows how to create mobs. He knows how to create riots. He knows how to disseminate false information. We had a traitorous, progressive Muslim in the White House who has now learned the ropes to such an extent that he craves division. And he is now behind the scenes creating division in this nation at a rate never even dreamt of by anyone in the history of this nation. Never, ever even dreamt of. Nobody could have ever even thought we'd be where we are. The casting away of Christianity, folks, is destroying us from the core out. And the NFL disrespect for the flag says the same thing. People don't realize the NFL rules require that these players stand for the anthem. These lies are being fed, this movement's being fed by the communist propaganda media. They keep blaming the president, saying he is divisive, for saying respect our flag in this country. Do you know the NFL gets some unbelievable amount of money a year? I'm thinking it's $30 or $60 million a year of taxpayer money to help veterans. The destructiveness there, this groupthink and race hatred is permeating this nation. It's absolutely permeating this nation. Obama brought this term he called tribalism, tribal thinking. Okay, they push tribalism, that you relate to your group, you relate to your cultural or social group or whatever it is, and that is who you are. It's tribalism. You're white, you're male, you're Christian, you're part of that evil white male Christian tribal group. The only way you can even kind of redeem yourself is to just apologize for everything white people have ever done according to the history of the minorities. Now, I'm not trying to sound racist, but how else do you defend against these false accusations without using the same vernacular that they're using? In God's eyes, is there race? You know, there's people that have all these different theories about Adam and the first man and the red man. And, you know, Adam means red or blush. And, you know, and just for the sake of argument, I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying the DNA of man, there are many godly men. And there's a whole other debate on that whole thing I won't even get into. But the point is, this is the division of God's intention for our lives. They call it group. It's groupthink. You are associated with a specific group. You're a Christian. Here's the thing I talked a minute ago. Antifa, these left-wing radical groups that are being sponsored by George Soros, they're creating radical riots. They're coming in with violence and powerful, you know, gear, big old chest shields, putting on hockey equipment, basically, and coming in with weapons. So what happens when a conservative group of men stands up to him at one of these rallies and actually does what our founding fathers would have done and does what law enforcement is meant for and does what the whole point of the well-regulated militia was for in the first place? What happens when a group of conservative Christian men show up to one of these functions and take these guys on, successfully. Now you have the beginning of the goals of George Soros and Obama. The media will skew the data. They'll skew the facts. They're going to blame it. They're going to film it as if it was these radical right-wing white Christians, and they're going to begin to label the Christian movement as a domestic terrorist group. They'll begin applying laws towards us. Folks, you listen to me and you go, Kevin, this is nuts. Mark my words, the day is on the way. You will be persecuted like never before. It is not uncommon through history that Christianity is heavily and harshly persecuted by its own government. The sad thing in this nation is our government was built on Christianity by Christians for Christianity, for the purpose, the express purpose of propagating Christianity and making disciples of all nations. The reason the world has the Christian influence and the Christian light shining on it today is because of the United States of America. Now, there is all kinds of corruption. America's the most giving nation in the world, hands down, bar none. Haiti, there was over $350 million given to help Haitians. The vast majority of it never made it there. I met the son of the ambassador for Haiti, whose father is the expert on the whole diplomatic process. He ran for president of Haiti years back, and they disqualified him because he was a right-wing Christian, but he would have won because he'd ran a newspaper uncovering all this corruption and so on and so forth. And that country just remains. I'm not here to push Haiti, but that's just one little picture. We've got the genocide of the Armenians still going on in Turkey. Terrible. Goes all the way back. To extreme levels. 1.8 million killed around World War II before the French came in and rescued them. And it goes on and on like this. And yet, our media, there's a movie that just came out. I think Dean Cain did it or somebody. Our media refuses. Our Hollywood elite refuses to sponsor or carry the movie. They won't allow it. They said it's too political. Well, the Armenians are Christian and the Turks are Muslim. Of course it's political. No, it's not political. Was the genocide of the Jews by Nazi Germany political? If you talk to the New York Times, it sure was, because it was Christian versus something else. Anytime you're dealing with, Judaism, same difference to them. Religions that they're fundamentally opposed to. Religions that have at their core right and wrong and good and evil. They don't want to be told this. I'm telling you, folks, we're in a situation here that is unlike any other. These movements do not die down. We are literally under attack from communism, which George Soros loves. He's collapsed countries economically and every other imaginable thing. And my area of gifting and blessing is financial. I will tell you, you've probably become complacent. Precious metals seem pretty, pretty level. The stock market keeps breaking new records. There's so much chaos and mayhem going on. You may have bought precious metals when they were on this, radical rally. And you'd buy them again if it starts to shoot up again, which it will. And when it does, by the time you jump in, it's going to be run too far. You'll still do all right. But, you save so much by buying in now. If you figure silver costs $18 an ounce now, and it goes back to just where it was a few years ago, around 50, you're making 60-70% of your money. Same with gold. But that's not the point. In coins, numismatic coins. I actually talked to a guy on Wall Street that was amazing, brilliant, and very wealthy. And he picked my brain about what I thought was worth investing, and he went straight after gold and silver. And then we talked, not after negatively, he wanted to hear what I had to say. Wealth preservation, that's a great foundation. But the thing is, folks, you've got to have coins. You've got to build these nice portfolios. Everyone wants, a lot of people, I'll say, you know, are always thinking of the worst possible scenario, which is a pinpoint in time. Overall, be wise. You know, you just want solid assets. The Bible's crystal clear about that. I mean, that's just the way God operates. That's the way he functions. That's the way things work. And it's so critically important to invest in solid, firm, you know, transportable, liquid, recognizable assets. And it's, I think it's really important that you understand the purpose and the logic and the timing. You always want to buy low and sell high. If you want to think about it that way, you want to buy, it's like Warren Buffett said, and I'll admit, I think Warren Buffett has Asperger's because he said, you know, from the time he was 16, he worked for a brokerage firm, and he just made incredible analyses, and they said, this kid's great, you know, get him to work. And they'd ask him, what's your secret? And he says, I don't know, I'm just really good at compounding interest. And when the markets were bad, you know, he's like, well, I'm buying gold, I'm buying Coca-Cola, I'm buying these household names, I'm buying things that everybody knows all the time, everywhere, silver too. Well, him and a bunch of other majors, they're back at it, okay? The metals prices are seriously stifled, seriously oppressed, suppressed because of manipulation of the futures. But there's so many existing contracts shorting the metals market that they are at vast multiples of the amount of metals in reserve. What does that mean? That means there's contracts that say that people are trading hundreds of millions of ounces of silver, when in reality, the entire reserve at the COMEX is about 300 and some thousand ounces. So once people start to just take delivery, it's over. If they say, you know, I'll just take delivery of my metal, it is over, over, over. There's so much orchestrated manipulation in this nation's financial system designed by John Maynard Keynes. And you got to remember, our economic system designed by Keynes was specifically designed to destroy your finances. He quoted that. He wanted to create, he said, a continuous process of inflation that will confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unobserved without their knowing it, he said, as the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. He was a Marxist. And so our economic system may make sense to you, but it doesn't to people who understand money. Our economic system is hyperinflation. I was showing people this weekend, $1.87 million in debt just for each one of us, just on the U.S. debt clock. Never going to get paid off. You've got two ways that can be paid off. One is bankruptcy or insolvency. Two is hyperinflation. Do you really think this nation, under the guise of the Federal Reserve, is going to ever make us look like we went bankrupt? No, and here's why. The more money the Fed makes, the more profit the Fed makes. You go insolvent or bankrupt, the Fed shuts down, the money system goes bad, and they're out. The only way it ever changes is with an uproar or upheaval from the people. That's why the system shuts Rand Paul down. They don't want a guy like that out there. He's too smart. He's too real. He's on the money. So just remember, we are facing all forms of attack on this nation. We've talked about tribalism flourishing and destroying America. We've got collective punishment, which is abusing you or mistreating you for the group that you appear to belong to, especially as a Christian. In collective punishment, and it's generalizing who you are, which is obviously evil and immoral. But you have to remember, each person is equally created by God and has a right to your opinion and your life choices for better or for worse, moral or immoral, as long as you aren't hurting another man's rights. That is a huge level of debate, because now the left-wing process is to stifle your speech. I will tell you, folks, if you, and I want to say, we've had some basically staff changes. One issue I've dealt with, and I'll be honest, is not getting messages, okay? There's been an issue. Please, one more time. If you've called, and I know there's a few that came up too late when I finally found out about them. If you have questions on your portfolio, you just want to know, call me. I'd be happy to talk to you about what you have, what you don't have. If you've got old investment portfolios from Swiss America, Goldline, whoever, call me to talk about it. I don't care if you have stocks, bonds, annuities. I will look at these with you. I will talk to you. I'll help you. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed, everything else. I've got a strong background. I would love to help you. No strings attached, no obligations. Obviously, I have to manage my time. 401ks and IRAs. You got questions on that, call. You can leave a message with the guys. I'll get back to you. I will admit there's a lot of times I'm not in, but that's great. Leave a message. Tell them what it's about. When people want me to call them back and they refuse to say what's it about, I won't. And why is that? Because I'm rude? No, because I get advertisers calling me all day like this. Have Kevin call me. Who are you? I can't say. And then I call him up and I got to listen to a 15-minute pitch and I don't want to be rude. And so just say what it is. Say I'm a radio listener. I want to know more about a 401k or IRA. I'm a radio listener. I invested in this stuff 15 years ago from another company. I want to talk to Kevin, see what he thinks, see what I should do. Folks, we live in interesting times. So, you know, just be action. Righteousness is not passive. It's active. So let's, you know, do the right thing. Thanks for tuning in. I'm glad to be back. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. Coins plus 444-0044. The website has the old radio shows. Thanks again. Bye-bye.